The following radio play has been adapted from Ramasur, a novel by Rick DeMille. Welcome to the second episode, The Prodigal.
He stands motionless in the rain and looks around. Sees train tracks, a deserted station, an empty wine bottle beside the building.
He kicks it and thinks, are these supposed to be clues?
But they tell him nothing. He doesn't know where he is or why he's here. All he knows is the enemy has followed him. Is he in the shadows, waiting to pounce? The man strains to see if the tormentor is there, but sees no one. Now he walks to the end of the concrete platform, then onto the tracks and follows them, away from the limestone building and from the town, eastward toward the milky light. He steps from tie to tie, careful not to miss one, not to fall between them and into the abyss, then up onto the steel rail and down the gravel embankment that leads into the tall grass, beneath leafless maples and into some kind of park, where he sees a bench. As he approaches it, he notices a shadow slouched in one corner, like something old and evil. As he gets closer, a voice comes from the darkness.
Who's that? Who's that?
But the man cannot answer, so he simply says nothing and continues. But as he gets closer, he can see that the slouching form is not some beast, not some ancient evil, but simply an old man, wearing tweeds and cap, sitting with one thin leg crossed over the other, like James Joyce, perhaps thinking about some story he's about to tell. The man approaches the shadow, stands beside him.
Ah, it's you. Come back to the scene of the crime, have you? Jesus, but you gave me a start. At first I thought it might be the Moses boy sneaking up on me. Bad bugger, that one.
The Moses boy?
For the love of God, the Moses boy, Billy Moses. For Christ's sake, you know the one whose head you bashed in.
Yes, Billy Moses, the enemy.
Not that anyone would blame you. The devil himself, that one. Deserved everything he got. Nobody ever blamed you for bashing him with that stone.
Then he is dead.
Dead? Dead! He's alive as you or me. But enough of this talk. The past is past. That's what I always say. Let it rest. We've better things to be talking about. Come, tell me how are you keeping, after all you've been through.
The man shrugs.
For the love of God, just don't stand there like some kind of idiot. Come sit with me and tell me all about yourself. When were you released? How did they treat you? Did they beat you or put wires on your head like I heard? Or was that just a bunch of stories? Ah, come on now, you can talk to me. It's not like I'm some stranger. It's me, Danny.
Danny?
Danny, for Christ's sake. Danny Doolan in the flesh.
Danny removes a pipe from his pocket, taps the bowl on the edge of the bench, and then pulls out a leather pouch and begins to stuff the bowl with crushed shag tobacco. When the pipe is lit, the man inhales the smoke and remembers the scent.
Yes, Danny.
You were the one who told me the stories, weren't you?
Was I the one? Of course I was the one. But what choice did I have? You were a veritable hound of hell when you were a boy. Always at my heels, tugging at my sleeve, pestering me for a story. Jesus, I could barely get a sup of tea into me mouth, but you'd be after me, wanting to hear about Parnell's betrayal or Rory O'Connor's death or stories of the sea. Ooh, you love those tales of witches and fairies and children turned into swans, and you knew each one by heart. Sometimes I'd try and rush through and leave out some small bit, but you stop me dead in my tracks and insist that I go back and put in the part I'd left out, and I'd have no peace till I did. And then, when I'd finally finish, you'd begin hounding me for another. Always. Just one more. I'd be hoarse, for Christ's sakes. My throat raw and bleeding, and you'd still be hounding me for another story. At me to tell you about the Loup Garou or the Chappaqua witch.
The witch?
The witch. The one who lived on Chappaqua Mountain. You remember? The woman who seduced and then killed the trapper? moved up the mountain with the child in her belly, and when the girl was born, she put a curse on her, and then had two more daughters, and put the same curse on each one, each of them becoming a woman and dying a violent death, including Billy Moses' mother. Sad case, that one. And little did the poor creature know that she had passed the curse on to her son. It was that very curse that curdled his blood and turned it black as ink.
What curse?
Jesus, H. Don't be starting in on me with your old tricks. I've got more to do than sit on my arse and tell stories.
Now Danny lifts himself slowly and grabs the cane that's been hanging on the back of the bench. He stands erect, looks at the sky and points his cane accusingly at it.
What a Christly miserable day. But you could hardly call it a day at all. No sun, piss and rain, and with all this death hanging in the air.
Tell me about the witch.
The witch? I told you about her 100 times. How can you ask for it again, especially today of all days, with the sky as black as death, and with her up there, in the hospital?
Her?
Her, of course, for Christ's sakes. The one who raised you, who fed you and clothed you, who kept you from the clutches of the Shabaka witch. That's who. Your own grandmother. And now she's up there, in that goddamned hellhole of a hospital.
The man tries to remember his grandmother, but can't. Instead, he sees an image in his head. An old hag of a woman. And beside her, Billy Moses. The two of them smiling at him, waiting to get their hands on him. Now old Danny Doolin turns and walks into the Vale of Drizzle, toward the ghostly outlines of a building on the edge of town. When he's almost out of sight, he stops and calls through the gauzy air.
Stay here if you want, but if you want to see her, go soon, for I'll tell you, she'll not see the light of another day.
When Danny is gone, the man turns his face to the sky, closes his eyes, and watches the stories that creep into his head.
The Prodigal was written by Rick DeMel, read by Rick DeMel and Walter Keeley, with music by Duncan Cameron. This has been a Charlie Cormorant production. Stay tuned for episode 3.